Everything in life has a more sinister and darker side than what's perceived on the surface. Every piece of media that you consume has something lurking in the shadows of the person or the team who made it. Every movie, every song, every book that you've enjoyed, all has a dark past in some form. But out of all of those, it seems that video games have the capability to house some of the most dark and twisted parts of the creator's mind. From obvious inclusions like Silent Hill's PT to the most light-hearted games such as Mario, we will pluck every strand of every creepy and twisted mystery these games have to offer. This is the Dark Side of Gaming. Hey there, Darksiders. I hope everyone's enjoying the start of their weekend, but even if you're not, I have something that might take your mind off things. Do you remember kicking off the season with Mod Jed? He was the old-school RuneScape moderator who made a fortune from selling virtual gold. Since we're discussing the game again, I did a quick search on our old friend, but there were no new updates. I still don't expect any, but hey, you never know. Anyway, if you missed it last time, I highly recommend watching it first, especially if you're not familiar with the game itself. There were a number of occasions where I said certain topics warranted their own episodes, and I wasn't kidding. Tonight, we're revisiting the subject of old-school RuneScape's Black Market, and thanks to a series of interviews by the YouTube channel Crumb, we'll even see it from an insider's perspective, but first, I'll throw in a short recap for those who only need a refresher. Old School RuneScape is a fantasy MMORPG, and leveling up a strong character takes large quantities of gold and time. People lack the patience to earn it through regular gameplay, and not everyone can afford to buy it at market value. A high demand for cheap gold had people racing to supply it. The problem is, operating outside of the public eye carries certain risks, and one could argue that they aren't always worth the reward. In order to run a business selling, well, anything, above or below the table, one must have a steady supply of product and be able to unload it at competitive rates. In this case, that means having a significant amount of gold and selling it at prices players will consider worth the risk of dealing with third-party suppliers. How does one do that? Well, mostly through account theft and gold farming, which means you're about to get a crash course in hacking, but remember, this is all to serve one greater purpose, turning that virtual currency into real currency. Also, I want to make it clear that the Black Market isn't just one specific website. It's a collection of forums where players can meet and make arrangements to trade products with one another, whether that be gold, usernames, accounts, or any deal that they want to make, really. Hacking RS, FJ Form, and Scornbot were a few popular ones from back in the day, but I'm not trying to call anyone out, so I'll only be naming sites that are no longer in operation. They're essentially another version of Craigslist. Some offers are legitimate and, well, some are predatory. It's like a gigantic flea market where you can't see into the seller's booth to know if they have an actual product. Buyers can check for the basic red flags, but we've all misjudged people online, and these people are professionals. This is actually a big factor in why I wanted to cover this topic. Internet security is no joke, and while our main focus is on RuneScape attacks, these same methods are used to steal people's money and information on countless other sites every single day. And these crimes are not restricted to a single community. They exist everywhere. Anyway, I can't think of a better way to kick things off than with the Crumb interview featuring a former gold seller called Liam, who was making over $2,000 a week on the black market sites. For the first few years, he only dealt in small amounts, but in the summer of 2015, he ended up working with a major site owner who was making about $50,000 per month. From there, he learned how to operate on a massive scale and went into business for himself. There are quite a few different types of people that sell gold, but most come from one of three groups. Stakers generally run several accounts in the dual arena and sell their profits to distributors, who then turn around and sell it in smaller amounts for higher prices through black market sites. Though, most sellers consider this method too risky due to the fact that they could be banned while holding that much gold. When real-world trading bans became too big of a threat, the various websites were no longer willing to hold large amounts at once. Instead, they waited for a customer to place an order, then found a distributor to fill it without ever touching the gold themselves. It removed the risk, but also removed a chunk of the profits. The next type are the gold farmers. Those who watched the Mod Jet episode will already be familiar with this concept thanks to our Venezuelan friends. It's also a popular practice in China and Pakistan, and their working conditions can get pretty harsh. Most of these people are feeding their families by providing gamers with extra virtual currency. It's a strange concept to think about. They typically have several people running multiple accounts on any devices that they can find, and they make more money doing it than with anything they could find locally. It takes months for a new profile to gain decent earning potential, and they must live under constant fear of having these accounts banned if discovered farming. Even when being careful to avoid notice, if they aren't using a VPN, their IP address is a constant red flag to moderators. The farming can actually be done by bot software or real people, but regardless of which is doing the dirty work, the job remains the same. It's just 24/7 crunch time, gaming morning to night. Buyers aren't the only ones who fear being ripped off either. The sellers have their own fair share of worries. Typically, when people purchase a virtual product, they expect immediate results, and while there's absolutely no way to reverse a gold transfer, it is possible to reverse a payment. Since it's incredibly easy for someone to create a new account and resell the gold, most places have capped the amount someone can buy per month and started asking for ID on larger orders. You also have to remember, these sites don't have guarantees like eBay or Amazon. It's just you and the person behind the random screen name. Actually, it's even worse because it's not uncommon for the staff to actively work against you on black market sites. A previous site owner compared it to the Wild West, saying there was, quote, corruption at every level. Hacking RS changed owners on several occasions, and most committed exit scams before leaving. One even stole all the username and passwords in plain text, hoping members were using the same credentials for their RuneScape accounts, and, as you'd expect, many were. As far as the employees are concerned, the most common problem was staff failing to ban known scammers, but it wasn't uncommon for administrators to play a more active role either. Some would spend months to a year earning a good reputation across multiple forums, only to throw it all away for a few $100 and then disappear. Each of these forums have boards for every topic that you can think of anymore. The black hat categories are centered around hacking, phishing accounts, and basic hacker tools. Most of the time, they even include tutorials and bragging sections to detail your own exploits. It's worth mentioning that there are also white hat categories that focus on ethical hacking. Theoretically, these methods are purely for no one gets hurt scenarios, but I'm sure there are many who would argue the very existence of such a thing. Luckily, we aren't here for morality debates, only to learn from others' mistakes. RuneScape accounts weren't the only things being bought and sold on these forums either. These sites also attracted many skilled programmers who built their own software. If enough people asked for a tool or how-to guide, someone would make it, and considering these products were primarily for hacking and spying, this added an extra layer of danger to the equation. It's kind of like buying drugs. There's always the risk of being ripped off since you can't go to the police, and you can never be completely sure of what's actually in the product itself. I mean, how many of us would know if the software we downloaded was doing more than it claimed? By now, you're probably wondering what Jagex thought of these websites, considering few things can spring them into action like someone screwing with their money. Their lawyers sent cease and desist letters to several fishers, and they successfully shut down a few sites, but those victories were short-lived. Most were back up as soon as they found new hosting providers, but Jagex didn't accept defeat that easily. Undercover moderators began visiting the sites in order to keep tabs on the communities. If a large number of hacked accounts were linked back to a specific site, Jagex actively went after ownership of the domain name to prevent it from causing further damage. Unfortunately, the site owners got wise to what was happening and stopped using Jagex trademarks and their domain names while switching to bulletproof servers. This is the term for hosting providers who don't care what content is being shared, and they're primarily located in countries with a lack of internet laws, like Russia. Jagex was helpless to shut these sites down. So, now that you're familiar with the gold and the sites, let's move our focus to the various services they offer and how. For example, there are people who legitimately work to improve players' accounts. Whether you want a fire cape or a character leveled up, you can pay someone else to do the dull and time-consuming parts. Though, even with sterling reviews and a spotless reputation, I'm not sure I could trust someone enough to give them my login and authenticators, especially on the black market site. But, like I said before, we're here to learn, not judge. Besides, in this instance, it seems people usually get what they pay for. To their credit, there are places to post complaints if someone scams you, and most sites show how long a service has been running. Generally, someone who's been in business for years without any complaints could be assumed somewhat reliable. Now, you probably think that this is for veteran players who simply don't feel like beefing up another profile from scratch, but some of these places handle maxed out accounts that are worth significant money. The customer leaves the agreed upon amount of gold in their inventory plus any extra gold or items needed to complete the requested services before handing over their login details. Since these service providers are responsible for their employees, many include disclaimers, ensuring customers remove excess valuables to avoid accidental spending. The workers traditionally receive 80% of the fee, with the other 20% going to the provider. In one of the Crumb interviews, a man who dealt in these services required a photo ID and a deposit of 250 million gold before hiring someone. At the time of the interview, he had three employees, and it's a little surprising they were willing to send a picture of their ID to a random man on a shady website, but it sounds like it worked out for him. If you're wondering how much money someone makes from a gig like this, the range varies from $65 to $325 per week. And while that may not sound like much to you or me, we know it can be a lot to people in certain countries. Every hacker has their own techniques, but remote administrative tools are one of the most common tactics for getting into someone's account. They work similarly to TeamViewer in allowing another party full access to your computer, but without the need for your permission or even your awareness. Aside from the ability to view any stored passwords, they can access the webcam to, quite literally, spy on you. The trick is getting into the victim's computer. Another Crumb interview came from a man who spent a year in prison for his hacking crimes, and he agreed to share his tactics when using this method. Also, don't forget, people can use this for anything, not just RuneScape. First, he scouted for a player who had lots of gold in their account by striking up conversations that would eventually be moved over to Skype or somewhere files could easily be shared. He'd then work on building a trust with the person by playing on their likes and their dislikes, even giving them free stuff. The remote administrative tool he was using had a feature that allowed him to disguise the file as a picture or a document. Normally, when someone tries to infect you with one of these programs, it shows up as a .x or a .jar file, but the extension can be spoofed to look like it was as innocent as a Word doc or a JPG file. Once the victim opens this document, with one simple click most people would think nothing about, they've given away complete access to their computer and everything on it. In addition, you should know that these infected files can be incredibly small. Many see an image as only 50 kilobytes and think that a virus couldn't fit, but it can, and it does. Droppers are a type of malicious software specifically designed to fool people with its small size. Then, once it's on your computer, it automatically downloads the actual virus in the background without you ever realizing. After the hacker was on the victim's PC, there were plenty of ways to get their RuneScape login, but the easiest was to wait a few days and check the keylogger. Most of the time, he could simply search for runescape.com, and the login would be recorded in plain text. Those who set up two-step authentication through their email were no safer, since most people stay logged in on their computers. It's no trouble going into your email at that point. The ones who used their phones for the two-step authentication had much better chances, since it's more difficult for a hacker to gain control of both devices. Phishing scams are just as common. Hackers only need to create a duplicate of the RuneScape website, which is apparently quite easy to do. They simply go to the real site, right-click, hit Save Web Page, then they possess all the HTML code needed to remake it on their own server. It takes roughly 5 lines of JavaScript to include a feature that records login credentials for the hacker. Originally, pressing Enter after the login attempt would tell the victim they've given an incorrect username or password, but eventually, they were upgraded to redirect the user to the real website. Most people never noticed the wrong domain or even realized what was happening. The fake site links could be posted on forums or messaged to players directly, and usually included some type of clickbait, saying they could learn more by clicking here. From there, it was just a matter of waiting for people to use them. Hacking these accounts became so widespread that programmers began developing software specifically tailored for RuneScape. One example was having it recognize when a player was on a bank and taking a screenshot after every mouse click. With those images, the hacker could go back and retrieve their PIN. Now, there's one more thing I want to tell you about the hacker Crumb interviewed. I mean, besides the fact that he was earning between $4,000 to $6,000 a month before the year he went to prison, this guy was also involved in a breach of the RuneScape headquarters database. They used an SQL injection, which is a fancy way of saying they tricked the website into giving them all the user credentials. Then, they were able to use a program developed specifically to test them on RuneScape. Again, hackers were aided by the fact that most people use the same username and password for multiple websites, so they had a bot to try each of the stolen logins on runescape.com. Nowadays, the bots can actually log in and do much more, even transfer the inventory to a mule account, but at the time, they could only tell if it worked or not. With all of the different ways of getting accounts, they soon had too many to go through and began offering 1,000 bundle packs on the black market sites. I have trouble wrapping my mind around those numbers, but if everything we've learned so far doesn't say it plainly enough, please hear me when I say, don't buy gold from these sites. It's just not worth any of the risks. Even if you aren't hacked, you risk being banned if caught. Because there are still so many scammers out there, I want to end this with a short guide to the different types of item scamming you should be aware of when playing. Some people will offer to trim, upgrade, or enchant your armor for low costs, but this is impossible. They only want to steal your armor. A common issue is when players offer services such as gem cutting. You should always check the person's name on the high scores list to determine if their stats reflect that they're capable of performing the task. Also, please never believe that there is any reason to drop your items. There's no handy cheat or ability to duplicate or multiply your items. Scammers simply just want to steal your stuff. Likewise, you should never entertain any requests following the term trust test. One of the oldest cons in the world is putting someone in a false sense of security by making them believe it's their character in question. These tests will usually revolve around market trades. Never trust someone else's word on an item's value or rarity when you can easily just Google it for yourself. And this should go without saying, but people have fallen for it before, so there is no reason to tell anyone your password. There's nothing you can change your password to that would give free gold or rare items. The most common password scam is pretending to be a Jagex employee and inventing a reason they need access to your account. But there is no reason an employee would ask you this. Period. There is no exception to this rule. It's the one exception to the rule that all rules must have an exception. If you encounter someone trying to use any of these tactics, please do the community a favor and report them. Well, alright guys, I think that about does it for the black market. If you're wondering why the hacking community is so obsessed with RuneScape and seemingly no other games, so am I. While it is great, it's far from the popularity that we're used to seeing with these crazes. Maybe there's a darker secret that we just haven't learned yet. Maybe we aren't asking the right questions. Maybe we've only begun to scratch the surface of an even larger mystery. Or maybe they just really love the game. I don't know. What do you think? This episode of The Dark Side of Gaming was brought to you by The Dark Swamp Entertainment and produced by Swamp Dweller, backed by Audio Boom. The heart-pounding sound design was produced by Joey Sorlis. The creepy mysteries in this episode were brought together by Paige Turner. These dark tales were voiced and hosted by Derek Weber. Be sure to follow the podcast on iTunes and Spotify to get notified as soon as new episodes come out. And don't forget to rate it to let us know how we did. And leave a comment on what you would like to hear be covered in a future episode.